This is a continuation of the volume one questions, volume one about the Nicer Than God series by Bob Benyart. And Joshua is speaking.
Okay, so I am totally aware of, you know, Jesus being an example to us, how to love people, right? God is love. Jesus was the, tempted as we are. And to have victory, not succumb to a temptation, but have victory,
right,
leading a sinful life, he loved God supremely and loved his neighbor as himself.
Right.
Okay. A sin-free life or a sinful? Sorry.
Sin-free.
Okay. Life. Sound like full. That's what it
sorry. Is. And so, with that said, I think that's why Bob and many other people, bring up things that Jesus did and say, well, if Jesus is our example, he's doing it, so can we, sort of thing. And I get that. So please remember, I do get that. But what I don't understand is this brings up a very common this is a topic very common that we hear saying, well, who are you, Jesus? Right? Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And their point of someone saying that is that, you can't do that because you're not Jesus, right? Okay. And so kind of just, where are they getting that from? Where are they... because I think some of these thoughts that come up are coming from the Bible, but maybe just an improper understanding of the Bible. And so I'm seeking clarification on Titus chapter 3, verses 2. Through 3. So, verse 3, it says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. And so, it started out with the word for, and so it's kind of like explaining why. The verses before it, okay, chapter 3 starts out saying, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish. So Jesus was never once foolish. He was not once disobedient. He wasn't deceived. He wasn't serving various lusts and pleasures. He wasn't living in malice and envy. He wasn't hateful. And he wasn't hating one another. And so it seems like we are to conduct ourselves we don't have all of the liberty that Jesus had because of that verse 3. But if that's not right, please help me understand, what is verse 3 saying?
Okay, well, I don't think Jesus violated verse 2 or 3. First of all, I'm going to assert that, nor the disciples, apostles, would have violated verse 2 or 3. So, let me go back through that and just address a point that I think might be an issue in this discussion. And that is that to speak evil of no man doesn't mean we don't tell the truth if it's harsh. Just because they're doing evil doesn't mean we don't speak about the evil. Speaking evil of no man would mean I don't slander them or falsely accuse them. But if they buy their own mess, well, I'm a homo, so what? Or I do this and this and that, so what? If your God doesn't accept that and you don't accept that, then too bad. God doesn't accept it. And it is too bad, because you could get the mercy of God, but you're going to get the destruction of God. So, if that... let me get back to the passage. I'm sorry, I'm kind of blowing it here. Hang on.
Which one are you looking for? I might be able to help you.
I'm trying to find Titus.
Oh, Titus. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm trying to go to the actual places. Okay,
sorry. No, I got it right here. It's a new Bible for me, so it's hard to... The pages aren't worn enough yet. Okay, so... we are subject to magistrates when they tell us, to powers and authorities. We do subject ourselves to the Constitution, to the law of the land, and to speak evil of no man, which is where I thought maybe you were having a hard time with that.
No, I wasn't honing in on that specific one. I was more just like asking, like, verse 3 is kind of sounding like, you know, but I don't want to interrupt. I talked a lot. I'll let you just kind of go through.
I don't think Jesus was any of those things. He never examples any of that stuff. And so, nor should we be living in malice or hatred towards our brother. But just because we're rebuking or scourging somebody verbally in the open air or otherwise in small groups or individually, doesn't mean we're living in these descriptions. I agree we shouldn't live in those and call ourselves holiness Christians for sure. And showing all meekness unto all men, well, of course, I've got to... Meekness doesn't mean weakness, it just means power under control. So we don't want to be uncontrolled with them. We don't want to be, angry unrighteously with them. And have an unrighteous anger with them, and unnecessary scourging of something they haven't done, it wouldn't be hitting the target. We're out there to hone in on the target of the individual person's issue, and we generally preach the gospel. We talk about the bad news and the good news. We're generally preaching, and then somebody in the crowd will say, "Bing," and then there's a target, and they'll give their objection. And that target will say X, Y, or Z, and we'll say, well, A, B, and C, this is what God says. And now we'll hone on that target and hit it with God's word, hit it with the sword of the truth, and let the chips fall where they may. You know, if that includes mockery, includes true accusations, not false ones. And like the sinners, most of the time, and even professing Christians get wrong sometimes too, says, well, how can you accuse these people of these things? Well, I'm generally preaching, and those individuals that I'm talking to, they've already professed it or admitted what I'm correcting and rebuking them about. So our culture has been so inoculated to the idea of any receiving any kind of correction or any kind of rebuke, because there's no godly men in the land or no godly men in families to even start the rebuke there, that when a young person or an old person on the outside hears it from a street minister, could they receive it then? They won't. They'll object to it, they'll deny it, they'll come against it every time, even if they call themselves Christians and go to church.
Amen. And so, I think I understand your question, is that can we do what Jesus did? Because we certainly didn't live the way he did. Does that sound like a good summation of your question?
Well, I think a lot of what Jesus did we can do for sure, right?
But not everything.
I don't know. Is there some things based on what we've had in our lives, you know, some of us really, really bad, right?
Yeah.
In our
yeah.
past, and Jesus doesn't have that on his record.
Right.
And so, you know, does that allow him to do stuff that, you know, we're not allowed to do, or necessarily, but do, but like how we do it. Like, do we have to have more humility, or do we have to have more gentleness, or whatever?
Right. So, very good question, because, and I just want to say this: Paul was a murderer. Yeah, I want to point to Paul as the example here for a second, because I'm about to quote him.
So I'm cool with that. We'll just pause you to save our time. I was going to mention Paul, and so, yeah, mentioning the prophets and Jesus, I think a better example to approach what Bob was trying to say is what you're about to do, and that is point to Paul, because Paul was a murderer, like you said, and he was the worst of, he was the chief of sinners, that sort of thing.
So Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So Paul says that we are an ambassador. An ambassador cannot do anything, or shouldn't do anything, that's outside the character of who he's being an ambassador for. If I'm an ambassador for the United States of America, I better be representing America and its constitution and its laws. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We cannot be nicer than him. We can't be meaner.
We wouldn't represent him.
We're not representing him correctly. And so I point to that, and then I point to the fact that Paul was a murderer. And I will also point you to 1 Corinthians 6:11. "Such were some of you," and there's a list, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. We quote it all the time. "The unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, effeminate, thieves, covetous. Such were some of you." So if we were to say that we cannot go around rebuking people after we've removed the plank, if we cannot go rebuke somebody for being a drunkard after not being a drunkard, you know what I'm saying? I used to be a drunkard. I rebuke drunkards all the time now. I no longer am a drunkard. I rebuke homosexuals. I was never a homosexual, but I was sexually immoral. Was. Such were some of you. So at some point in time as a Christian, you need to pull up your saint's pants, you know, pull up your big man's pants, your saint's pants, I'm calling it, and you need to act like a saint. And you need to judge righteously, because Jesus said, "Do not judge by appearance, but make a righteous judgment," like John was talking about. That woman with the Daisy Dukes, she actually humbled herself. At that point in time, you want to give that woman some grace, because now you have a chance to open the Bible up and point to her about a modest woman. That's exactly where you should go, to the Bible. Now, she gets proud, and that's a whole different story. Okay. But and I'll just say this too, that in Proverbs 17:15, it says that he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And so we've got to be very careful how we treat fellow preachers, open air, or even evangelists. And that guy, what did he just say to that person? Well, do we know the context of everything? We don't always know the context. Sometimes you come across a video and you come across a clip and you only get a portion of what actually happened. But that, you know, I don't want to go into that too much, because I'll detract. But to answer your question, yes, we are supposed to walk as Jesus walked. We are supposed to do as Jesus did. In fact, Jesus warned us what would happen if we did. "If they hated me, they will hate you." A servant is not above the master.
Right.
And so we are to rebuke and reprove and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so that's not going to always look very nice.
Okay.
Well, I have Brother John.
Well, I was going to say one verse from me that really sums that all up is 1 John 2:6, and I'm sure you've heard it before, brother. And it says we ought to walk just as he walked. Yeah. Now, we haven't walked that way because we've had sin in our life. But if he's the example, and he is, then we ought to walk just like he walked. That's all there is to it. And if he rebukes sinners, then we have, by God's word, authority to rebuke sinners and scourge them and call them out of their hypocrisy and mock them and all those things. Now, we have to be very careful, because if we're living in hypocrisy, then it ain't going to work.
Sure.
Yeah. And so we've got to get sin out of the camp and not be like Achan and make sure that we're walking purely before the Lord. And if there's anything that's hindering us, we need to get rid of it. That's all there is to it. And a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up 7 times. So, anyway,
Yeah, the verse before that says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about love, so
yes,
I just wanted to point that out.
So, yeah. Marvin, you mentioned being an ambassador,
mm-hmm.
and when you first said that, I was like, wow, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And I'm not saying it's not good, I'm just seeking clarification on the scope of it, the mm-hmm. extent.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, what I'm hearing is that the extent is everything. So, you said, you know, we need to accurately represent God. Well, my understanding is that you believe that God hates sinners.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be an ambassador and represent Him accurately, do I need to hate sinners?
Yes, with a perfect hatred. Psalm 139.
That's a command? Or is that what
to love what
David
God loves
said?
To love what God loves and hate what God hates. It says, Romans chapter 12, I don't know the exact verse, it says, to love without hypocrisy, hate that which is evil. Abhor, it says, abhor that which is evil. And so, that's a whole other subject when you start talking about hatred, and we would definitely end up in a much deeper, longer conversation.
Well, I think that, if I could interrupt, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is really an important point.
Yeah.
And if I'm cutting you off or you want to add more after I say this, please feel free to do so. But the sinner says, and the lukewarm Christian says, well, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. This is true for the Christian, but it's not true for God. We hate the sin and we love the sinner, right? He hates the sin and he hates the sinner. And he loves the sinner. It's a both and, right? We're supposed to love God's enemies, so we're supposed to love them too. But the part that we can't do is we can't hate them, like I think I hear you saying. We can't hate them because he tells us to love our enemies.
I agree with that. But so then how does that fit together with being a representative as an ambassador?
Well,
he was equating. You
know, he's making good points there, brother. So again, it's not an either or, it's a both and situation. We hate the sin, and I hate the abortionist that's doing the sin. But at the same time, I love the abortionists. So I don't hate them the way God's going to hate them, demonstrate his hatred on Judgment Day. I'm waiting for God's judgment to come. But I'm warning them about God's judgment to come. And I'm going to judge with God. The saints of God are going to judge with him. So to go back to the trite statement that Christians make, love the sinner, hate the sin. That's a good guideline for Christians, but it's not a good guideline for God. And it's an incomplete guideline for Christians as well, I think. You know, and I think, Marvin, you agree with that.
Right.
But it's an incomplete guideline in the sense that some Christians, and maybe they mean well, they take that we're supposed to hate sinners to the nth degree where they're shooting abortionists,
where they're
beating up people in the streets that are trying to come against the gospel because, hey, you're hindering the gospel, I'm here to preach, and powie, they give them the kapow right cross. People do that. But they can't do that in light of God's word. So, anyway, the point that I'm making is for immature Christians, they need to kind of stick with that whole idea that I'm supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin. But God both hates the sin, hates the sinner, and he loves the sinner at the same time. And has already demonstrated that for us all. So, we're without excuse.
If my memory serves me correctly, because I've listened to all three of these audios before, that Bob Enyart's going to cover that hatred part, I believe. I could be wrong. I could have heard
another
one of his
audios. Do you think he covers it rightly?
Yes.
Okay. Or rightly according to our perspective, anyway.
And in my opinion,
our view.
Of course, too, because a lot of it's perception. But to that hatred part thing, that's just going to open up a whole other conversation.
Let me give a better or a different example then. So, Psalm 7:11, very popular verse. God is angry with the wicked every day. You look up the word angry, foaming at the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So are we to go out on the streets with, you know, because we want to be an ambassador and represent God accurately. Seems like we haven't been doing a good job because I haven't been seeing anybody foaming at the mouth yet. Step up, guys.
We
need to be good representatives.
Is that Mr. Literal or Mr. Figurative?
Driving the bus. Yeah. So right? I think there's times, at least to the sinners, we appear like we're foaming at the mouth, rabid dogs while we're preaching. At least that's the way we appear. And maybe not appearing that way to you.
Sometimes
but,
spit comes out of my mouth while I'm preaching.
Yeah, I tell them, stay out of my spit zone. So,
yeah, you brought spit on somebody.
I'm not spitting them purposely, but so you know it flies out sometimes. So you could call that foaming at the mouth.
Yep, it all depends on your perception.
Well, I don't want to change definitions.
Or definitions, right, definitions.
So once again, you know, is it figurative, is it literal?
God being angry, maybe that's figurative.
No, I'm talking about the definition. Is that literal or figurative?
So right now we're going on an hour and a half. I'm going to make a call that we're just going to kind of terminate this and carry it on later, if that's okay with you.
What do you mean by, I'm okay with that. Okay. What do you mean by later? Because
later with the men.
I think a lot of times we don't end up talking.
Yeah. I mean later between us. And we do talk about this, whatever we say we're going to talk about, unless you guys change the subject, which, or maybe I change the subject. So if you will persevere through that, then I must say, yeah, because we're... Yeah, we got to leave at 3, too, so because of my schedule, sorry. We just are constrained by time.
I started out saying I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'll wrap it up. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have any questions or objections they might want to air?
Marvin did.
No, I'm not going to have time. So.
Right, okay.
I declined.
Okay. All right. Praise God.